When I imagine it was a sunny day. Jesus has been followed by the crowds and they've listened to him. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And having heard him throughout the day, Jesus looks and realizes that at this point they're going to be hungry. It wouldn't be good for them to have to walk back to the village. And so he turns to Philip and says, Philip, feed them. And Philip says, if I had 200 days' wages, it wouldn't be enough to feed this crowd. Some of the other apostles talk about this young boy that they know of who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that for a crowd that could be 10 to 12 to 15,000 people large? But Jesus orders them to sit down and blesses it and starts distributing this bread and this fish. And everybody eats. And when they're done, the apostles go among them and find scraps. Enough for a basket for each of them. The people want to make him king, but that's not his plan. And so he sneaks away from them. He does send off his apostles. He ends up crossing the Sea of Galilee by night on foot. Except he didn't take the same route as the people take the next day. But the next day they followed around and they found him. And that's where we find them in John chapter 6. Give us bread. Jesus says, the problem is that you have followed after me not because you saw the signs and believed, but because you ate bread and you want to eat again. And so they ask some questions and they banter back and forth until finally Jesus teaches them that he is the bread of life. That if they really want life, he is the one that they need to consume. That creeps out a whole bunch of the disciples. And by the time the whole thing is done, these 5 to 10 to 15,000 people that had followed him and hung on his every word and had wanted to make him king just the day before have now abandoned him. And he turns to the 12 and says, do you want to leave as well? And Peter, speaking for the rest of them, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. This is a story many of us in this room know well. We've heard it before. We've preached on it before. We've talked about it. I want to visit it again because it actually demonstrates to us the very nature of Christianity as a religion. It demonstrates to us the very nature of this body that we are a part of. What is our goal? What it is that we're striving to accomplish? But it also, in doing that, demonstrates what Christianity is not. And I want to spend some time tonight talking about what Christianity is and what it is not. Because our year that we're embarking on now is a year of making disciples. It's a year of bringing people into the fold. It's a year of drawing folks to God that hopefully will not be the only year we do that, but will be a springboard for renewal and revival of evangelism and disciple making and growing as a congregation and as individual members. But if we misunderstand what it is that we're really a part of, then all the work that we do will be for naught. And so I'd like for us to consider what we see in John chapter 6 and learn about Christianity. Because you see, the great message that we find in John chapter 6 is that Christianity is a taught religion. Christianity is a taught religion. And if we do not understand that, then what we pass on to people and what we bring people to will do them no good. Christianity is a taught religion. Before we break into that in John chapter 6, would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty God and Father, you are magnificent and awesome, the wondrous God, ruler of heaven and earth. And we are amazed because of all the ways that you could have spread the borders of your kingdom in this world, you've chosen to use us, and you've chosen to use us as teachers to spread the good news, to proclaim the gospel, to herald it, to preach it, to teach it. to talk with one another and to talk with others about what your son did on the cross for us and how he was resurrected on the third day. To describe to others how it is that you are loved and how we can glorify and honor you the way you want to be glorified and honored. And we pray that you will fill our hearts with understanding, that you will enlighten our eyes, that as we read and study your word, we will understand it and know how to proclaim it and teach it to others, because your religion is in fact a taught religion. Father, we're so thankful that we get to be in this relationship with you, and we're so thankful that you have condescended to allow us to be your workers, to be your army. We pray that you would be with us, that we would spread this gospel, that we would teach it, that there would be many who would, whose hearts and minds would be open to what you have proclaimed for them. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we begin, I want to reiterate that what John chapter 6 demonstrates to us is that Christianity is in fact a taught religion. Christianity is a taught religion. When this entire account is wrapping up and Jesus turns to his disciples, the 12, and he asks them the question in verse 67, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter, the one who often answers rashly and brashly, actually gets right to the heart of the matter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. What is it that produces life? The words that Jesus has. His words are what bring life. His words that he taught that we now teach to others, that is where life comes from. And if we want to bring life to others, the only way we can do that is by passing on the words of life that Jesus imparted. It can only happen by teaching. Christianity is a taught religion. Christianity is a taught religion. And so in John chapter 6 and verse 44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You can't come to God unless God himself draws you. But don't be surprised by that, because he goes on in the very next verse and explains how God does the drawing. How does God do the drawing? In verse 5, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. How does the Father draw people to himself? He draws people to himself through teaching, because Christianity is a taught religion. Now, when we hear that we are taught by God, the idea here is not that we go into a classroom and God is the one behind the lectern. The idea is not that we're going to be hearing the literal voice of God in our heads or in our hearts. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. In Psalm 119 and verse 97, we learn how it is that God does his teaching for us. In Psalm 119 and verse 97, here's what the psalmist wrote. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have far more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Here in Psalm 119, verses 97 through 105, the psalmist explains how God teaches his saints. God teaches his saints through his word, through his law, through his precepts, through his commandments. If we want to be taught by God, the teaching must come from God's word. And we must understand that. That is the only way for life through Christ to be spread to others. It is by teaching these words. It is by exposing others to the words of life that are from Jesus Christ, from God. Christianity is a taught religion. But when we understand that, we recognize from John chapter 6, there are some things that Christianity is not. There are some things that Christianity is not. And this is important. Because today, there are those who would spread Christianity in ways other than teaching. There's ideas that we can pass on the gospel through other means. And I want us, and I hope, that we will be drawn back to God's plan for drawing people to himself through teaching. We need to understand that Christianity is not a fought religion. Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a fought religion. There are those who might have the idea that religion should be passed on at the end of a gun or at the point of a spear or at the blade of a sword. But Jesus points out that it is not to be that way. In John chapter 6 and verse 15, notice what happens. In John chapter 6 and verse 15, as they've seen this sign, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Understand, Jesus' plan all along was to be king. Jesus wants to be king. Jesus' goal is to be king, but not to be king this way. When we understand this concept in the historical context, we need to recognize what's happening here. If these people took Jesus by force and made him king, it would be the start of a rebellion. It would be the start of a rebellion against the Roman Empire. It would be the start of trying to bring people to follow Jesus at the end of a spear. That's exactly what this would be, and that is not Jesus' plan. Jesus' plan is not to rebel against the Roman Empire. Jesus' plan is not to take up arms and try to convert the Romans through the means of battle and fighting. In fact, in John chapter 18 and verse 36, in John chapter 18 and verse 36, when Jesus is before Pilate, he explains it this way. In John chapter 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would rise up and fight that I might not be delivered to you." So if my kingdom was the kind of kingdom that you're thinking about, then we would fight. Then we would spread the borders of this kingdom at the end of a sword. So, but that's not the kind of kingdom that Jesus was establishing. His kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom. And so it is a kingdom that is taught, not a kingdom that is fought. Today, there are those who are Christians that still have the idea that Christianity is a fought religion. Now, there are very few among us who would say that the way we fight it is by getting out our guns and our swords and our cannons and by going to war. However, there are those who think that the way you spread Christianity is on the floor of Congress. That if on the floor of Congress we can fight and legislate the laws of Christ into a nation, then we have spread the borders of Christ's kingdom. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Christ's kingdom is not a nation like the nations of the world. Christ's kingdom is not fought for on the Congress floor. Christ's kingdom is taught. Christianity is not a taught religion. Oh, wow. Christianity is not a fought religion. I may need you guys to edit that on the recording. Christianity is not a fought religion. Christianity is a taught religion. But I would also ask us to think about that in our teaching, because there are times when we as Christians, even when what we're claiming to do is teaching, really what we're doing is itching for a good fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 24. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Even in our teaching, we must need to make sure that we're about the teaching and not about the sparring. There are some brothers and sisters that are on Facebook all because they love a good fight. We're going to scroll through the news feed so we can find somebody who's saying something wrong so we can step up. And yes, I understand that we fight for the faith. We keep up the good fight, but it's the fight against the devil. We need to make sure that when we're teaching people the gospel, it's because what we want for them is life. Not what we want is to beat them in an argument. And far too often, our goal is to win an argument rather than to win a soul. Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a fought religion. And we need to remember that, especially as we are teaching. Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a fought religion. Additionally, it is not a bought religion. You don't buy people into Christianity. We don't buy souls. It amazes me that so many people go to John chapter 6 as they're trying to talk about how to win people to Christ. And they go to John chapter 6 and say, see, what we need to do is we need to be feeding people. Because that's what Jesus did in John chapter 6. Jesus was feeding people. I would invite you to read the chapter again because that is not at all what is presented in John chapter 6. Jesus is not at all trying to feed people so that they will follow him. First, Jesus was demonstrating a miracle so that they would know he's the Son of God. He wasn't trying to feed them so that they would follow him around. When they came to him the next day and they wanted more food, he could have given it to them. The one person in all of history that could obviously and clearly feed everybody all the time chose not to because they misunderstood what it was about. He says to them there in John chapter 6, when they get to the other side, verse 26, truly, truly, I say to you, seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. He understood exactly what they were coming to him for. And he points out that's not what it's about. He wasn't feeding them so that they would follow him. He was working a miracle so that they would know he was the Son of God. But in addition, I would invite you to watch what actually happens in that account. See, today what we are told is, if we feed people, they'll know we'll care about them, and then they'll follow Jesus. And so the entryway to get people to follow Jesus is to feed them or to provide for their physical needs, to get them to follow him. I would invite you to read John chapter 6 on your own at some point. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to notice these were people that were already following him. These were folks that followed him and listened to his teaching. These are folks who in the chapter are described as disciples. In fact, when they abandoned him at the end of John chapter 6, it says that many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus didn't feed people in order to get them to follow him. He saw his followers in need and he fed them. That's a completely different scenario. And then when they came the next day and demonstrated, we'll follow you forever if you just keep feeding us, what did he refuse to do? He refused to feed them. He could have. Surely somebody else had 5 loaves and 2 fishes around there. He could have fed them again. But he didn't. Why? Because Christianity is not a bought religion. Christianity is a taught religion. And God does not need our attempts to attract people and to draw them to his gospel with all these other extraneous ideas. God doesn't need that. His gospel doesn't need that. What his gospel needs is just to be proclaimed, to be set up for people to hear it, to be taught it. You know, I find it interesting in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, as Jesus says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is Jesus' statement? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the very common evangelistic method in our day is, we'll add all these things to you and hope that second you will seek God's kingdom and righteousness. And that's getting it exactly backwards. God's plan is for us to learn and be taught and seek first his kingdom. Then he will add. Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a bought religion. And so many of the things that are done today in the name of evangelism, we'll have the coat closet or the soup kitchen, the Super Bowl party, the Six Flags trip. Oh, how often is this kind of evangelistic method what is done among young people? We want to make sure to have a youth group that does all kinds of amazing fun things. We're going to go on a Disney trip, or we're going to go on a Super Bowl party, or we're going to do all of these amazing fun things, and hopefully somewhere in the midst of that, they'll pick up a little bit of gospel. And that's an attempt to buy people into Christ, and it doesn't work like that. Sadly, it's been my experience that when we get involved in that kind of thing, especially when we do it with our young people, we end up measuring the wrong things. We think that something is successful because more people come back next week. And the reality is, you can get online, you can search it. The churches that are doing things are pointing out that once their young people leave, they're leaving the faith. That's what we need to be measuring. Not who comes back on Sunday, but who sticks with it when they leave home. And the normal method is not causing people to stick with it when they leave home. What causes people to stick with it is being taught the gospel and accepting it and believing it. Christianity is not a bought religion. It is a taught religion. We need to make sure that that is what we are doing to draw people to Jesus Christ. Whether folks out there or folks in here, Christianity is a taught religion. Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a fought religion. It is not a bought religion. And one other thing that we learn in John chapter 6 is that it is not a caught religion. You don't catch Christianity like you catch a cold. You don't catch Christianity just by being around other people that have Christianity. We think about these folks who followed Jesus. They were around Jesus. But in the end, that didn't save them. That didn't cause them to believe. They still abandoned him. And then I think about even one of the apostles who was around Jesus as much as anybody was, Judas, who ends up betraying him. And Jesus even mentions him in John chapter 6 and verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Judas was not automatically a believer and faithful simply because he hung out with Jesus the entire 3 years. Judas was a betrayer. You don't just catch Christianity. And folks sometimes have that idea, and that this ties into the last one. Folks have that idea, whatever it takes to get them in the pews, whatever it takes to get them here, if we just get them around us, they might catch it. So let's build a fellowship hall and have fish fries all the time, because at least they'll be here. Let's build a gymnasium and a workout room and they'll be here. And as long as they're here, maybe they'll catch Christianity because they're around us. You don't catch Christianity just by being around Christians. Christianity isn't a caught religion. It is a taught religion. And unfortunately, even when we think about our young people, this is often what parents think. That we act like sometimes it's a caught religion. Our children grow up and fall away and we wonder why I always had them at church. But we need to remember that Christianity is a taught religion. Our children will only be converted if they are taught by us or by someone. They've got to be taught. I understand that though teaching is done, some folks will still turn away. Judas was taught and still turned away. But no one will obey unless they are taught. Christianity is not a caught religion. It is a taught religion. And I would point out here a warning that I often hear among Christians. I get it. We've talked about it. I've admitted my own struggles with branching out and talking to people out in the world. Again, get them here and it's easy, but try to talk to them at Starbucks, that's tough. I understand that. Now, I don't know how many evangelism classes I've been in where that one well-meaning Christian stands up and says, "Well, you know, one of the best ways we evangelize is to teach by example." What does that mean? Be nice, and now they'll know how to obey the gospel? Brothers and sisters, Muslims can be nice. Most of them are. Hindus can be nice. Most of them are. Atheists can be nice. And most of them are. There's only one way that people around us have any idea that the reason we're nice is because of the gospel, and that's if we teach them. That's if we tell them what it's about. I know that meme that ends up on Facebook now and again that says, teach the gospel, if necessary, use words. That sounds so meaningful. And I know I passed it on in times past, but man, think about that. Really? Teach the gospel, if necessary, use words? It's necessary. Use words. Now, obviously, we need to shine the light. In Matthew chapter 5, it points that out. In Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus is talking about the fact that we are the light of the world, in verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We have to shine that light. Yes, we must be good examples, but our light only shines in such a way that people will know to glorify Yahweh when we teach them about Yahweh. Otherwise, for all they know is we're just nice people. And there are a lot of nice people. Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a caught religion. Before we wrap up and we realize that Christianity is a taught religion, it is neither a fought, bought, or caught religion, there's some realities that we need to grasp from this. When we consider this idea that Christianity is a taught religion, we need to understand why so many people are attracted to a fought religion, and why so many people are attracted to a bought religion, and why so many people are attracted to a caught religion. I admit it, when people are perpetuating fought, bought, and caught religions, those are exciting. Let's face it, when we hear that Christianity is a taught religion, it makes us think of school. And with all respect to the teachers and professors here, most of us don't like school. You know, I am begging for amens all the time, and that's the one that gets it. So we hear, oh, it's a taught religion. Man, that reminds me of school. That just sounds so boring. When you read church growth literature today, a lot of people will say things like, you know, what you need to do is you need to find what God is blessing and jump on that bandwagon. And what they mean when they say that is, look around at the churches that have lots of people and just do whatever it is they're doing, because if they have lots of people, God is obviously blessing them. But I look in John chapter 6. And I wonder if anybody told Jesus that. If you want followers, find what God is blessing and hop on that bandwagon. Because if we know that God is blessing something merely because there's lots of people, then Jesus did the exact wrong thing. Because when he was willing to fight, they were willing to make him king. If he was willing to feed them and buy them, they were willing to follow him. If he was willing just to hang out, they were willing to hang out with him. But when he started teaching them, what did they do? They left. And we know from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. That the majority of people will not want to be a part of a taught Christianity. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, it says in Matthew 7:13. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Those who find it are few. Most folks would prefer a fought, bought, or caught religion. And so if all we're concerned about is lots and lots of numbers, well, we can do one of those. But if what we're concerned about is being a part of what God is really blessing, and we know that God is blessing it when he's saving people by it, life is in Jesus' word. Life comes from Jesus' words. Christianity is a taught religion. And we need to be surprised. I know that the majority will not want a taught religion. But that doesn't mean that many won't want it. You remember what I pointed out this morning? We've got this Facebook campaign. It's supposed to start tonight at 12:01 a.m. Go till next Sunday at 8 a.m. I typed in that it's supposed to go to Land O'Lakes, Lutz, Wesley Chapel, Temple Terrace, and Tampa. And it said there's a reach of 1.7 million people. Do you realize that means we could save and win 600,000 people and it would still be a minority? And that would be many, wouldn't it? So just because it's not the majority doesn't mean it's not a lot of people that'll respond. But we need to make sure they're responding to what God really does use to draw them. And that's teaching. Not fighting. Not buying. Not catching in that sense. But teaching. You know, as the old preachers say, it's one of my favorite statements. You hot dog people in, somebody else will hamburger them out. We've got to remember that. But if you win people with the gospel and they understand the gospel and they want the gospel, they won't abandon that. And that's why we're busy making disciples. And that's why we're going to make disciples by teaching people. Because that's how disciples are made. By teaching them. Christianity is a taught religion. If you'd like, you can put your notes away in your Bibles. Pull out songbooks if you want to follow along in the songbook. The song will be up on the screen behind me. I know you've already put your Bibles away. That's okay. I just want you to hear what this says. I'm just going to read this to you. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." How do we make disciples? We make disciples by teaching them. We make disciples by baptizing them. We want to teach the gospel. We want to teach you the gospel. Jesus is God the Son who came into this world because we are sinners and we need a sacrifice that will save us, that will cleanse us of our sin, that will save us from the wrath of God because of our sins. And Jesus, God's Son, stepped up and filled that role. And He came into this world and He lived as one of us. And He went to the cross, perfect and sinless. And He went to the cross, scourged, beaten, mocked, a crown of thorns rammed on His head, blindfolded and struck, and hanging between heaven and earth, the perfect mediator between heaven and earth, as the life slipped away from Him. And they buried Him. And on the third day, He arose, bursting forth from the grave. And what's amazing about that is not just that He came back from the dead. It's that He defeated death. He defeated death for you and for me, so that we might have life. So that you might have life. Do you want that life? Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Peter, when that message was first taught, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We're teaching you that. And we will teach you to follow all that He has commanded. And then you'll be His disciple. Are you committed to following Him? Can we invite you to let Him take your sins away? Will you confess Him as your Lord in baptism, calling on His name, being immersed in water, raised to walk in new life? We had a new sister take that step on Wednesday night. We'd love to help you take that step tonight. Let the angels in heaven rejoice. We want to help you with that. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing this song so we can?